Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Sunday, December 25th, 2011.
Hey, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. So there's no prayer tonight, just a reminder to you. And everything this week, because of the holiday week, Wednesday night and women's study, men's study, we're not meeting this week. There is the New Year's Eve, or the day before New Year's Eve celebration there on Friday night. This morning, as we consider just the Christmas message, I'd like to just consider some thoughts here from the pen of Matthew as he gives us the first part of the Christmas narrative here in chapter 1 of Matthew, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Hey, let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this Christmas morning to be together and to have this place to meet and just to enjoy the holiday season together, but enjoy our fellowship together too. And thank you for the time of praise and worship and these Christmas carols and songs that just remind us of your powerful love for us and just the incredible thing that you've done to save us from our sins. And as we gather this Christmas morning, Lord, just lead us, speak to us briefly here as we go through your scripture here in Matthew, just considering what you've done for us. And I ask your spirit to be upon all of us, even myself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Christmas story here, Matthew writes that at this time, Mary, when she becomes pregnant, this young gal, as you know in the Christmas story, she wasn't married yet. And generally, in this age of back in Jesus' day, girls married pretty young, not like today, but pretty young. Many believe Mary was about 15, 16 years of age at this time. And in their culture, you know, they had this betrothal time, this engagement time, where marriage was prearranged by parents from a young age. And so you could be engaged in this Jewish culture even from a young child, at the age of a young child. A year before the marriage ceremony, a year before they got married, they entered what was called a second stage, was known as the espousal stage. And there would be this ceremony, and then there was this year of courting before they were married. It was a sacred time, just an important time in their lives. And to enter this, terminate this relationship, it would essentially require a divorce, this engagement time. So to be seen as unfaithful in this time also would essentially be considered adultery. And I just begin with that as we, verse 18, read here, this young gal Mary is suddenly with child and she's engaged. It would certainly create a difficult situation or an awkward situation as we consider this morning, even for her, a potentially very serious situation. And my first point is, in fact, I'll just tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. So you can just sit and listen as I preach to myself. But just some truths in the Christmas narrative this morning that I need to be reminded of. And so I'm going to just share with you this morning. But first thing we note is Mary's dilemma, right? We note her dilemma. We thank the Lord from the Gospel of Luke that Mary's been prepared for this time. God has previously sent an angel to her, the angel Gabriel, who's told her to prepare her for this incredible experience in her life. that which she would miraculously conceive and be with child. And, you know, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Gabriel told her, "The Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And then, as you might remember from Luke chapter 1, verse 37, God reminded her, "For with God nothing will be impossible." She also would later have encouragement from her relative Elizabeth, who was miraculously pregnant herself, you know, being old. And her and her husband, God would bless their union, and she would be with child. And then Elizabeth would give this word of prophecy to her. So Mary has had the Lord speak to her and prepare her for this time. But, you know, Matthew just gives us a short little summary here of what happens, and we don't know all the details. We don't know the reaction of her mom and dad. You know, at this particular time, she's suddenly pregnant. We don't know the reaction of her other close family members. All we really are given is Joseph's reaction, and from Joseph's reaction, we wonder then about the other people's reaction. It leaves us to wonder, you know, how did her mom and dad react? What about those that were close to her? You know, she's suddenly pregnant, and what was their reaction? Here God has chosen to use this woman in an amazing way, but it's very possible there were some difficult situations here at the very beginning. And we know as the story unfolds, there are some trials and challenges that come, no doubt. In our culture, you know, we think of the nativity scene. We think of Mary and Joseph there in the stable or the cave. And we think of the little baby there in her arms and the shepherds coming to visit and the wise men. We might recall the previous long journey because of the census, too, there in her late pregnancy, and then, you know, no room in the inn, that sort of thing. We consider that. But what about these earlier discoveries of her pregnancy? You know, based on Joseph's response, you might think this could be a very challenging time, too, for Mary, right? Unlike in our society, there are a lot of young gals that become pregnant, and in Mary's day, it wouldn't be so common. As far as being unmarried and being pregnant. And to, for her situation to be misunderstood, for her to be potentially seen as unfaithful to Joseph, in fact, it could cost her life. If you look at the law, in the Old Testament law, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23, because it'd be considered adultery what she's committed. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, you shall be put away. You shall put away all evil from among you. So being in this espousal period would be considered adultery, so this could potentially cost her life. Well, Mary knew, obviously, what was going on, but others didn't, and that, you would think, would create a challenge. Now, the fact, verse 18, it says it this way. And in the Greek, it seems to even indicate this. Verse 18, it says, she was found with child. She was found with child. Some commentators suggest from the Greek that it was definitely awkward. She was discovered with child. She was discovered to be pregnant. You know, just imagine today a mom and dad discovering, a godly mom and dad in the church, discovering their young daughter, teenage daughter, being pregnant. And, you know, that happens at times, and a godly mom and dad, and you can just consider the emotion and all the questioning, and so just the challenge that goes with the situation. And I just start with Mary's dilemma this morning, because the Christmas story, as we hear, the very real situation, as God called these two people in the way that he did, there were certainly some challenges that went along with it, wasn't there? Well, you know, how is she going to explain her situation? How is she going to defend herself? You know, what was it all like? Well, as we read along, fortunately, the Lord, as God has called this woman in an incredible way, God is going to defend her. We know that, too, as we read along. There's certainly going to be some awkward moments and some difficult moments, but in an amazing way, God is going to test her faith, but God is going to use her, too, and God is going to just work it all out. But I'll quote you Charles Spurgeon. He said this, "Every great favor brings a great trial with it as its shadow, and becomes thus a new test of faith. Every great favor brings a great trial." And I certainly see that in the story here of Mary and Joseph on Christmas morning. And Joseph, as we read in just a moment, there was certainly a crisis that came. And then even later, you know, the, the journey and even the time of Herod and all that happens, just the trial, the trip to Egypt. Every great favor brings a great trial, no doubt about it. I start with that this last Sunday too, Christmas Sunday, the last Sunday of 2011. We look to a new year, 2012, and maybe the Lord's presently calling you. Maybe he's calling you to some ministry or some task or some venture in faith. And, you know, as you begin that faith journey, I was speaking recently just through email to Steve Sutton. He used to be here at Sunday mornings, you know, a member of our church now ministering in Cambodia. And I can just see that he's at that place of testing and trial. He stepped out to trust the Lord and be used by the Lord in Cambodia. But he's at a place that's not very easy. It's a difficult place for him. And, you know, the Lord, I reminded him, the Lord is faithful, but he wants to see if you're going to be faithful. That's what he's doing. He's testing your faith. Will you be faithful too? And you see that here with the Christmas story, no doubt. You might be feeling the Lord stirring and God speaking to you, but there may be some shadows of trials that are coming along or just around the corner or maybe even some awkward moments with people. And that's what happened to Mary. She's such a privilege to be used by God in this way, but not an easy one, that's for sure. But we need to trust the Lord, to trust the Lord for what he's going to do. I shared last night just quickly, but this past week, I'm just ministering to myself this morning, but was building a radio station in Rhode Island. And I tell you, there were some awkward feelings as I was down there. There were some times of confusion and questioning. You know, I personally, it came to a point about 2 months ago, it wasn't going to build this radio station. And our elders and myself decided we'd sell it, and other people were counseling us to sell it. So somebody wanted to buy it, and we went along with the sale. And unfortunately, after a few weeks, the sale fell through. And so we had less time to build it, and I was seeking the Lord. And I know at that point when I was seeking the Lord, the Lord told me, George, I want you to build that radio station. So now I have this task from God, an assignment that I know he's given to me to do. Well, as I began to work on it, it just certainly isn't going to be easy. Putting FM antennas on a stack down in a plant, a factory down in Bradford, Rhode Island. And as we start to figuring out how we're going to do it, just the geometry of it, just the situation, it's just going to be, it's even at night keeping me up a little bit. How are we going to do this? How are we going to put antennas on that stack? Well, it involves eventually a very large crane and an expensive crane, and one of these cranes that's so large that you need other vehicles to come with it. You know, you got the crane, you got the crane guy, you got an 18-wheeler with a bunch of stuff, you got that guy. And so as we've planned to do this as quickly as we can, and I'm wondering how it's going to work out. You know, it's coming together, we're building it, but of course we run out of daylight. We're building it on the shortest day of the year, you know. But a warm day, which was the grace of God. So now the crane's got to stay another day. In fact, we even put the crane driver up in a hotel, you know. And we stay another day, and I'm hoping it'll just take a little bit of time, but it just starts to take more time. In fact, we discover as we're thinking we're wrapping up the crane part that we have trouble with our antennas. So now a couple hours go by trying to figure out what's wrong with the antennas, and we can't figure out what's wrong. And so the crane leaves, and the tower climbers leave, and now we're working into the dark again, trying to wrap things up, at least to get the station license, which we did. But the dilemma of just being used of the Lord, the test of my faith. I tell you, as I've been here in Fitchburg in New England, God has repeatedly just tested my faith and brought me at places where I have to just trust him because he's working in a way that I wouldn't work, beyond my capacity, beyond even my emotional ability to trust him. And I just look at the Christmas story this morning with you, preaching to myself, man. But look at Mary. Just imagine her situation, being used of the Lord, being called by God. Well, then we come secondly to Joseph's dilemma. Look at his situation, man. It's clear, right? We read in verse 18, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, discovered to be pregnant. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, he's a good guy, he's a just man, not wanting to embarrass her, has decided to put her away secretly. Clearly, verse 19 applies. This man has also encountered a crisis, hasn't he? That's the Christmas story, the second man in Matthew's narrative. He's experienced a crisis he doesn't understand. He's going to put this bride-to-be away. He's going to divorce her, which would be the culture, the espousal period. And he wants to do it in a way to honor her. But as you see, clearly, he doesn't understand what's going on. Can't imagine why. You can just imagine discovering your bride-to-be that she's pregnant. I just go back to my engagement. I try to put myself in his shoes and go back to San Diego when I was engaged to Paula. And, you know, she accuses me of bait and switch because our engagement was just it was beautiful, man. We just had a great engagement, man. Couldn't have been any more happy, couldn't have been any more easy, couldn't be any more fun. We were just totally in love and having a cool time in San Diego. And then we got married, and then God called me in the ministry, and then God began to stretch me, and life began to be different for us, but it's still, it's even better. But I put myself in Joseph's shoes here, and I imagine myself suddenly discovering that Paula was pregnant back then. What that would be like? That would be a crisis. That this woman I love, that this woman I'm preparing to marry, she's suddenly pregnant? That would be a crisis for me. It was a crisis for Joseph. A crisis. God is working, but for him at this point, not knowing what God is doing, it's a crisis. It's a crisis of faith, no doubt. Well, to be where the Lord is working here in the Christmas story too, powerful what God is doing, but boy, it's stretching and it's testing and it's confusing. I was looking at some old notes too from Matthew chapter 1 back in 2004. I was teaching on this. And in my old notes, it was a Sunday before we were preparing for a prayer gathering on the ski mountain here. We called it Stand New England. And in my own notes, here's my own notes. That's that period of my life, 7 years ago, I shared with the congregation, you know, I'm confident that God has called me to do this prayer gathering. But I said, I confess, it's unsettling to be used of the Lord this way. I just think of people, are they going to come? We're spending $25,000 to do a prayer gathering. 25 grand. Are people going to come? I think of that Saturday morning pulling into the parking lot. You ever have the experience where you've planned something and you're wondering? And I've pulled into parking lots before when we've planned for something and seen just a few cars. And that's that horrible feeling you get. We put all this effort. Are people going to come? And then that awkward feeling of planning something and just have a small group of people there while you're doing it. And I was sharing this with the people. And then that week, there was these weather reports that were coming that this hurricane down in Louisiana, you know how they start talking about the weather, and then there's those weather reports where they're tracking it, and they're talking about horrible weather in New England, possibly, and I'm like, you can't, better not be on Saturday. Better not be on Saturday. But I just, so then if that happens, then you feel like you messed up, or you goofed up, or you did something wrong. And so I was just sharing that with the church. And you know what happened that Saturday? Many of you know, you've heard me share about it. If you were here, it poured like crazy, man. It was such a test of my faith. But there was about 1,000 people that came. It just poured like crazy. And then hearing stories later, yet how God ministered to people through it, ministered through it, and then how God even supernaturally provided for it. And I won't tell you all the stories. I was looking at old notes. Bill and Sandy Smith were part of our church back then. He was an elder, leader in our church. And they were feeling called by God to, he was working for the state, and he was feeling called by God to leave his job, sell their home, and move to San Diego and go through the training of the School of Evangelism. And they would go through the training for 2 years and then be part of the school and come here and plant a school. And, well, they were preparing at that time, and he had left his job, and they're ready to move to San Diego, and the house is up for sale, and all of a sudden the sale of the house fell through. But they already had parties, going away parties. People, you know, everything was happening. I had prayed for them, and suddenly the questions came. The house didn't sell. The sale fell through. Have we done the wrong thing? Awkward situation. I mean, people, we just had going away parties. You know, here we're stepping out. They end up moving out to San Diego, and eventually the house thing works out, and then they go through the training. And I remember when they came back 2 years later. It was our hope from the beginning that we would start a school of evangelism here. God had a different plan. But I remember being on the second floor, and they were here one day. And during that time, for various reasons, it wasn't working out, and the finances weren't working out. And I remember walking through the second floor room, and Bill and Sandy are sitting there, and there was like a cloud of depression in that room. They were so depressed, as if God had failed them or they had failed God. Well, God just had a different plan. I remember sitting down with them that day and discussing it, and there were some possibilities of them. They were invited to go to Minot, North Dakota. Mike had, McIntosh had some stuff going, and they just hadn't considered. And I said, well, you know, we've been thinking of the School of Evangelism here. Maybe God wants you to go to Minot. So a few days later, they got in their van and drove to Minot, North Dakota. And today, God has used them to plant a church out there that they, you know, Bill Pastor's Minot Christian Fellowship. But I can see in their lives, you know, God calling, God using, and times of real confusion, times of awkwardness, crisis. And that's just what happens. That's the Christmas story too. You know, the Christmas story includes that. Joseph is thinking he's going to divorce his bride. In that culture, it'd be a divorce because she's suddenly pregnant. And he knows he hadn't done anything. You know. Well, I just shared with you last Sunday, 2011, we start a new year. You know, maybe for some of us, the Lord wants to use us. Maybe the Lord's calling you. Even on a Christmas Sunday, we see when God works in incredible ways. He's working here. What a privilege to be used in this way. But notice how it's unsettling when God works at times. It's so big. It's so beyond us. It can be really a time of stretching and a time of, well, crisis too, test of our faith. Well, in the midst of Mary's dilemma, in the midst of Joseph's crisis, we then see God's confirmation, and that's what God does at those times. Before, you know, God acts, before Joseph acts on what he's thinking he's going to do, God sends an angel to appear to him in his dream. You know, we're told that he has this dream, and in the dream, the Lord speaks through it. An angel appears to him and speaks to him and says, Joseph, verse 20, son of David, don't be afraid, man. Take Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She is supernaturally impregnated. And there's a whole reason to it, as the angel then describes and shares. Well, you know, because of that, Joseph then decides to take Mary to be his wife after all. And I look at that, and at those times of unsettledness, or the time of confusion, the time of being stretched, where God is working in such a way that, so often he works in a way we don't expect. So often the way he's going to perform what he's going to perform is not a way that we anticipate. And so yet at those times where we are confused, or the times where we are maybe about to quit, you know, I was last night in my house, my kids were watching, maybe you're watching it too, but the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Capra's 1946 movie, Jimmy Stewart. We're trying to remember his name. What's that guy's name? Jimmy Stewart, finally. And Donna Reed, you know, George and Mary Bailey, they're the people of the movie there, this happy couple, but they live in poverty, but George makes a stand, you know, against this rich man in this community. George is kind, he's generous, but you've got this other guy, Mr. Potter, who's the old mean rich man in the community. I guess many of you have seen it, but Bedford Falls. Well, you know the movie, if you've seen it, George goes through a situation that leads to financial pressure and leads to a situation where he begins to question his own life and his value and his purpose in the community. So much so that he wishes he was never born. He thinks life would be better for his family. He was never born, you know. And comes to that place where he's standing on a bridge and he's going to take his life. He's going to take his life. And, you know, as portrayed in the movie, God sends an angel, and the angel intervenes in that goofy way and spares his life. And then is used to show George what life would have been if he wasn't born and wasn't being used in the way he was. That the reality is his life was very valuable and very important. And, God was working in a big way, in a bigger picture, and his part was vital in that picture. You know, God intervening at that time of confusion. An angel, you know, even in that movie. I think of that as it was on our TV last night. Here the Lord intervenes in the sense that he speaks to Joseph. Joseph, don't divorce her. Don't put her away. I'm working in an incredible way, man. I'm using you guys in an incredible way. Well, we then go on, you know, God's confirmation. God brings encouragement. I was thinking, after being down in Rhode Island on my way back to Fitchburg, and I was just disappointed. I confess, you know, building a radio station and then finding out you have antenna trouble, and the crane leaves, and the only way to deal with it is bring back that crane. That crane is so expensive. And, you know, how long is it going to take to bring that crane back? And How are we going to work this out? How are we going to fix this? Why did this have to happen? We wonder even if the antenna that was shipped to us from California was damaged. It was damaged when he got here. Maybe that's the problem. The damage was more significant. Well, I'm on the phone, and the Lord brings some encouragement to me through an engineer. In fact, every little way, God was trying to encourage me. I go into a Staples. I need to get a letter that I have, that I've written. I've got to get signed. I've got to get scanned and sent to the engineer so he can file with the FCC. But I'm not able to do that with the computer I have, so I've got to go to Staples. I go to the Staples in Westerly, Rhode Island, and I'm talking to the gal, and I'm like, hey, listen, I got a USB here. I got a letter that I've written. I've got to sign the letter. It's an affidavit, and I got to get you to scan it for me, and then I got to email it. Can you help me out? And this lady goes, we don't do that here. I can't do that. And I'm like, all right, it's been a discouraging afternoon as it is. I mean, just add to that. But then this young gal, she was nice. She goes, don't tell anybody. I'm telling you all. Don't tell her. Don't tell her I told you. I haven't been very faithful to her, but she said, don't tell anybody. And she took my USB. She went over and printed out the letter, came back. I signed it, and she went on her own computer and emailed it for me to the person. And then when I tried to pay her, she wouldn't. Just said Merry Christmas, and I left. Amen. And then we went to Wendy's, and I'm still just trying to wrestle with what's going on. And I order food, and John's with me. He doesn't feel like eating. He's probably discouraged. And I'm like, well, I'm going to order food just a little extra, just in case he's changed his mind. But then, you know, you have that situation when you order food, and it's taken forever. It's taken it forever. But the people were nice. So what happens in that situation often is, I ordered these chicken McNuggets and French fries, but they doubled the order because they took so long. So I had two meals when I went out the door. Merry Christmas. So I was able to feed them after all. Amen. But, you know, then I get on the phone. And I'm just trying to wrestle with what's going on. Lord, you told me to do this. Why does it have to be so tough? Why does it have to work out this way? And so I'm on the telephone with the engineer, and he just begins to explain to me, this is what you need to do. You need to buy this meter. You need to buy another antenna. You need to work out, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go back, and you're going to test the system, and you're going to figure out what's wrong, and you're going to fix that radio station. And just the way he talked to me and explained it, this guy in Indiana, was enough for me just to go, all right, I know what to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to persevere and go back and get this radio station on working well. That's just the way it's going to work out. But, you know, for me, when I serve the Lord, God comes up to me at those times with just little encouragement, sometimes confirmations, radically, just to remind me, hey, I'm in this, I'm working. Now, he does that with Joseph here in this Christmas story, and then in that also reminds him of this work that he's doing, or tells him, explains to him this work that he's doing, and that's God's purpose in all this, and God's purpose is the same through you and I, in the sense that God's purpose is to save souls. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And in that word save, he will save his people. And that's why we're here on a Christmas morning. You know, considering the Christmas story, he will save his people from their sins. I thank God for that word, to save us from our sins. I don't know about you, but how many times I feel unworthy? How many times I can't even believe the Lord's using me? How many times I think it would go better if he used somebody else? But, you know, but just my goofiness and my just the issues at heart and issues in my mind, all the things, I fall short all the time. But Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And just that the hope that I have, that I can, God forgive me for my attitude or whatever, cleanse me, heal me. You sent your son to save me from my sins. That word save, you know, I think of my nephew. One of my nephews, my wife and kids last Saturday were watching in one of these college football bowls. You know, there's so many bowls now. I don't even remember what that one was called. You know what I mean? There's so many of them. College NTA football bowls. But my nephew was playing in the Superdome down in New Orleans, playing football. And he started the game. And so my wife and kids were watching Jake Feely, her nephew, on the camera, listen to the commentators talk about him. But this little kid that I used to play football with, you know, 20 years ago when he was younger. But there was a time in his life, man, where he was 2 or 3 years old in their swimming pool in the back of their house and swimming. And he decided to take off his little floaties, little Jakey. Nobody's party going on. Everybody's having fun and in the pool. And this little two-year-old takes off his floaties and nobody notices it. And he goes underwater and he drowns. Jake Feely drowns in the pool. Finally, it's discovered he's there floating in the water. They pull him out and start doing CPR on him. And they bring in a helicopter and lifelight this little kid to the San Diego hospital. And his mom and dad and his brother, they're all on TV in the news. But he was saved. They revived him and got the water out of him. And today, last week he was playing in the Superdome. But he was saved. His life was spared. And he will save his people from their sins. Maybe this Christmas morning you come through the doors here, and your year of 2011, you've been so far from the things that you should be doing and doing things you shouldn't be doing. And maybe there's this stuff that's got such a hold on you, and here you are sitting here this morning. All this, God is reminding us here through the Christmas story, of course, the basic gospel message. Jesus was sent. God's Son was sent. He came to save us from our sins, deliver us from our sins. Deadly sin, Now, with that, the angel also says, Matthew then records, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Over 700 years before Isaiah said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and you see there's a, with prophecy at times there's the near fulfillment and there's the far fulfillment. At that time, God was speaking to King Ahaz through the prophet and speaking of how God was giving a sign he was going to deliver the nation at that time from their enemies. But as you read the prophecy very clearly, it wasn't completely fulfilled. And God was the near fulfillment. There was a far fulfillment, no doubt about it. And this prophetess, this lady has a child there, and it's the sign for King Ahaz, but she wasn't a virgin. But speaking in the future of the greater deliverance for the nation of Israel, but their Messiah, but the greater deliverance for mankind, and that God would send his son, and there would be a virgin, a girl that's never known a man, who would suddenly be impregnated supernaturally and conceive. And they would take that because she would actually give birth to the Son of God. God's Son would come and supernaturally become a man, and that he would walk this planet, and someday he would die on a cross. And he would do all that to save us from our sin. And that's never happened before. Never happened again. Virgin. But, people may question that. Oh, man, that just seems so far-fetched. But then you read, God's confirmation, meaning God said it long before. This woman then has this child. And then you read who that child is and what he does. Fulfilling all these other prophecies. And healing and giving sight to the blind and raising even the dead. And all the things that he would do. And then they would crucify him. And then 3 days later, as he was dead and put in a tomb, and the tomb would be empty. And all that would be just supernaturally around his life, confirming indeed that God's Son had come to come and die for our sin and to deliver us from our sin. Jeremiah prophesying 2 centuries before. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord Jehovah God, our righteousness. And it's with that the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John then reminds us too and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, Joseph then aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And we note there in verse 25 that he did not know his bride until they were married, until she had brought forth her son. And they called his name Jesus. And Jesus meaning Jehovah saves. Well, let's stand together. Sunday morning, Christmas morning, 2011. And then the year, starting a new year. What's the Lord going to do in your life, my life, through our lives? What does he want to do? Just reminded here in the Christmas narrative when, you know, God works in incredible ways. God can do the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. But when he works too, man, sometimes it's stretching. It is so far beyond us. He does things that in ways that we wouldn't expect. Can do things that we'd never even guess. Stretch us, test us too along the way. It's true, when God calls and God works, there's that testing too that comes. But to trust the Lord and follow the Lord and get out the message, the gospel message, you know, that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Well, let's close in prayer. This Christmas morning, we thank you, Lord, for the reminders in your scripture and your word to us. We thank you for sending your Son. You sent your Son from heaven. God, the Son. You sent him and he became a little baby. The infinite became an infinite, incredibly. Became a little baby boy. Born to this woman, Mary. Raised by Joseph, and he'd walk this planet, grow to be a man, and eventually die upon a cross. Never sinning, living perfectly, fulfilling many prophecies, but then dying for our sin, so we could be saved from our sin, so we could have eternal life. We thank you, Lord, this Christmas morning for the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. The gift of eternal life. And we just worship you, Lord, and we thank you. And this Christmas morning, as we stand here, if there's any that are here that have never had or don't know, never experienced eternal life, we just pray for them today. It's a gift that you give. It's not something to be earned. It's not something that we can achieve. It's a gift that you give to those who believe. And so today, Lord, in this place, just pray for any that might be here without Christ, without salvation, without forgiveness of sins. We pray today they'd put their trust in you. They'd receive you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. So we just thank you, Lord. I just want to conclude this Christmas morning service with a simple prayer. If you're standing here with me today and you're not sure if you've received the gift of salvation, ever put your trust in Christ to be your Lord and Savior, maybe you want to do that right now. It's a gift to be received by faith. If you want the Lord, want forgiveness and salvation, just tell him right now. Use this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do confess that I am a sinner. And I need forgiveness of my sins. But I also do thank you. You sent your Son to save me from my sins. That he became a man. And one day he died on a cross. And there he paid the penalty for my sin. Then he raised to life so I could have life. So today, Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would forgive me of all of my sins. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I choose to follow you from this day forward. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a gift that you receive. It's opening up your heart and receiving what he has for you in faith. And when you do, he gives you eternal life. Amen. Begins to work in a wonderful way in your life. If you need a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible if you don't have one. There'll be people available after the service to pray with you if you'd like to pray with somebody. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you.
Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts can be contacted online at horizonfitchburg.org or by calling 978-665-9111. Our service times are 8:45 and 11 a.m. on Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays.